Well, thanks for sticking around, and make sure you check us out on where?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook. Check us out. Like us, please. And we certainly hope you can check that out. And of course, keep in mind on TheValleyOutdoors.com, if you're looking for any type of seasonality, whether it's fishing season, when it's opened, etc., how much ice you have to have before you safely walk out on it, which I need to make sure I say that right now, because we're already having people talking about going out ice fishing up in northern Minnesota. A bit premature. I know they're making ice, but you also have to be aware that next week, the forecast this coming week for next week is going to be in the 40s in the center part of the state. So be aware it's not going to be making necessarily much ice.
Yeah, but what's it like up on like the Iron Range in Minnesota?
There's nights that are cold, but again, keep in mind, wind can destroy a lot.
And how long has it been cold?
Not long enough. Not long enough. Well, so, you know, so you guys in Michigan, you got a cool flag. I mean, you've got, looks like a moose. You've got I think it's an elk. You've got the bald eagle. You've got waters, a sun, a dude hanging out by the edge of the water. I mean, see, it's a dude hanging out. There's detail.
Yep.
That's detail.
That's cool.
E berbris unum. See? Circumspice, is that like, what was the Spice Girls? Was there a Circumspice?
No, Scary Spice.
Oh, well, Circumspice must be a little bit different then. That's what it says on here, Circumspice. See it on the bottom?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, Michigan, you guys got a cool one for sure. I liked it. South Dakota, I think, ranks up there pretty good too. Pretty nice.
All right.
Anyway, little did you know that on this, well, within the last 7 days, I'm not going to give the exact date, but in history, and I already spoiled it because you already heard
yeah.
it, barbed wire was commercially successful and patented in 1874. Now, I was
1874.
I was mentioning to Ava in the break, I said, when you're hunting, have you ever accidentally leaned against it? Or then she's like, no, but I got caught in it. I said, okay, I don't know many hunters. Ask yourself right now, have you ever had an encounter with a barbed wire fence? Whether it's been laying in the weeds, you didn't see it, which.
Oh, that happens all the time.
And then it requires a big patch or something to stitch that stuff back up. Or
yeah.
It went through the pants and into your leg,
ooh,
which I've...
I hope that's never happened.
That'll
Thank
involve
goodness.
Probably a tetanus shot or some type. And, you know, trying to cross one can often be a little bit tricky as well. So, yeah, 1874, that was the date that it was successfully, commercially patented.
So, I guess the two common for me is, like, going under it. You know, if you're, like, trying to get to a different part. And then pheasant hunting underneath the snow when you're walking.
Oh, I know.
And you'll be like, oh there's freaking barbed wire.
There is that. Can't
so,
be.
So, yeah. And that's never fun because then you're like, well, where's the rest of it? So.
And there's a lot of different forms now that have come into it. But the gentleman, his name was Glidden. Joseph Farwell Glidden, who invented it, and he was the...
It's effective.
He invented what was called the Barb Fence Company.
Mm.
So it
nice.
Was... So there's a lot of different ways you could do this to have a fence to keep in livestock or otherwise, or keep out other, but it was primarily protecting livestock. That you could have done with other wood fencing, which is what was the methodology of the past. And barbed wire was cheaper and easier to install. You could fix it. It was much easier to do that. You wouldn't have anybody running through it because once they realized what was going on with a sharp-edged fence, they didn't generally bump into it or try to knock it over. So kind of cool. Little stupid tidbits that I find here and there and everywhere across the globe, shall we say. Mm-hmm. I highlighted this at the top of the show. That's right. We mentioned it before. Super pigs. Are they threatening to invade Minnesota? That's right. Can you imagine?
It's super pigs.
Well, you said, could pigs fly? They certainly can.
Apparently,
a super pig. Exactly. Exploding population of hard-to-eradicate super pigs in Canada is threatening to spill south of the border. And northern states like Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana are taking steps to stop the invasion. In Canada, wild pigs are roaming Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, and they pose a threat, big threat. Often crossbreeds and combined with the survival skills of eastern wild Eurasian boar and with the size and high fertility of a domestic swine to create a super pig that's spreading out of control. They say a person out of the University of Saskatchewan says it's the most invasive animal on the planet and an ecological train wreck.
Oh, no.
Wow, those are great descriptives. Pigs are not native to North America. While they've roamed parts of the continent for centuries, Canada's problem dates back to only to the 80s when it was encouraged for farmers to raise wild boar. This gentleman said the market collapsed after peaking in 01, and some frustrated farmers simply cut their fences, set them free.
Oh, that's good.
Free Willy, Free Willy.
Well, out of sight, out of mind.
They are extremely good at surviving Canadian winters. Yep, exactly. They tear up the land and they root for bugs and crops. A sow can have six piglets in a litter
and
raise
many?
Two litters in a year.
Okay, I was going to say.
That means 65% or more of a pig population could be killed every year and it will still increase. Hunting just makes the problem worse. Success rate for hunters is only about 2-3%. Several states have banned hunting because it makes the pigs more wary and nocturnal.
Ugh.
Eradication of the wild pigs is no longer possible in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. I said that the situation isn't hopeless everywhere, and a few U.S. states have eliminated them. The key, he said, is having a detection system that finds them early and fast. In Canada, they've documented 62,000 wild pig sightings in Canada, and their aerial surveys have spotted them on both sides of the Canadian and North Dakota border. And they've also sighted them within 18 miles of Minnesota and Manitoba.
No!
Yep.
Get out of here.
You have to be very aggressive and use every tool in the toolbox. This could include big ground traps, such as the boar buster, or net guns fired from helicopters. Some states and provinces embraced crowdsourced squeal on pigs tracking program. You know the best part was? Sometimes when you don't read the whole story beforehand, I highlighted it, but I missed the squeal on pigs tracking program. I wonder if that it's a determination. You can sell that at retail. Minnesota is trying to prevent the swine from taking hold. The DNR is expected to release support coming up in February, identifying gaps in the management plan. Feral swine have been reported in at least 35 states, according to the USDA. That's the United States Department of Agriculture. The agency estimates the swine population in those states totals around 6 million.
We have 6 million super pigs?
Yeah.
Love it.
Super duper pigs. The program has had success in some states in regulating them, and had small populations like Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and Washington. If their animals are spotted quickly and killed off, they can do it, and they've done it in North Dakota. I think we're making great strides, but eradication is not in the near future. All right. Hey, tell you what, hang tight. We'll be right back.
And they're only 18 miles away.
They're not far away from you.
Great.
Keep your eyes open in the sky for the super pig coming in. And we'll be right back.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello. I'm
Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa. Hey, Ava.
You're here.
I'm sorry.
You made it back.
I was perusing my stories here and still basking in the glow of the Super Pig story.
Yep. It's hard to follow Super Pigs, but we'll try.
I will say this. If they do make it here, the devastation is insane. You see what happens down in the King Ranch with all those... The feral hogs down there, and they get, some of them are 800, 900 pounds. They're massive.
Gross.
And the bad part too is if you hit a deer, okay, you're going to get some damage, right? If you hit a larger feral pig, it's like hitting a brick wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, the damage is absolutely off the charts. So kind of an unfortunate scenario there, but... what do you do? I was going to make a comment. There's a story that we did a couple weeks ago, and I'm just flipping through to find it here. And it was regarding the wolf population. There it is. I got it right in front of me. There's an animal rights group that's filed a lawsuit on the Wisconsin Wolf Plan. Now, we had talked last week regarding a lot of the wolf situation and how they're growing at a relatively rapid pace, and they're trying to determine what's the appropriate level of wolves that would be manageable. And the Great Lakes Wildlife Alliance, also known as Friends of the Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife, filed the latest lawsuit in Dane County Circuit Court in Wisconsin. Animal welfare advocates, that's what they refer to these guys as, they're seeking to invalidate the new wolf management plan, accusing the state wildlife officials of violating the state's open meetings law and disregarding comments from wolf researchers and supporters. The lawsuit reflects how contentious the debate over the wolf management's become in Wisconsin. Farmers in northern Wisconsin have complained for years. They've been complaining, I've heard it, that the population of the wolves is multiplying too quickly and preying on livestock. Hunters argue wolves are devastating the deer population across the northern reaches of the state, and some environmentalists believe that wolves have yet to firmly establish themselves in Wisconsin and need protection. Here's the problem. I think we had a story last week. How many dogs did we say were killed by wolves?
A lot.
It was like 179 or something
crazy.
Like that. If you can't have a dog in your own yard... Or if something happens where that you're out hunting and you can't go, or you're walking your dog, there's a big problem. And there needs to be some issues with it. And again, coming weeks, we're going to talk about the administration's plan to expand grizzlies.
Yeah.
And
we've talked about that.
We're going to be talking about that in detail from a couple of the guys that are in tune with that I had just visited with when I was out in Everett, Washington. They've got their thumb on the pulse of that. But again, the lawsuit alleges Wisconsin DNR policy board members collected comments on a plan from interest groups it favored even after public comment period ended in February. There were discussions hosted by Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Wisconsin Association of Sporting Dogs, Wisconsin Wolf Facts, and that was in February, April, and July, the lawsuit alleges, and that the Great Lakes Wildlife Alliance members were not allowed at the April and July meetings. According to the lawsuit, the filings do not say if they were barred from the February meeting, which is usually the detail that's left out. It alleges that even though there's a quorum of the board members that didn't attend any of the meetings, enough of them participated to influence changes to the plan. Department of Secretary at the time announced the revisions were coming, and with the organization that favor further limiting the wolf population. So this is the part that really got to me, bottom line. It goes on, alleges the DNR officials gave little weight to scientific studies, questioning the accuracy of department's counts of wolves. The comments warning that hunting and trapping wolves won't reduce conflicts with humans. They failed to evaluate the dangers of overhunting wolves. The lawsuit asserts and allowed opinions and unverified accounts of wolf aggression against hunters to influence the plan. The lawsuit doesn't cite any specific instances to back up the claims. And that's the part I have with this. There's absolute hard facts that all of this, the population right now, is affecting it. They have a definite, they've had a definite limit to 350 in the past from since 1999. And now the latest DNR estimates, however, indicate population currently stands at 1,000. So it's just about three times what they originally had set as a limit for safe management. And it sounds as though the federal judge placed, the federal judge placed gray wolves in the lower 48 states back in the endangered species list. However, that was also, I know, politically motivated in certain elements and parts and pieces. And the DNR is working on an updated wolf management plan. But, you know, the difficulty is you've got farmers and they're being affected. That's a hard stop. You're getting hunters and people that are being affected. That's a hard stop. So you need to make sure you have the facts and the increased issues that people are having if they go out and use recreational lands, as well as farmers using and trying to cultivate their own property for whatever type of wild or whatever stock they're going to have in their properties itself. So I don't know. I think it's a little frustrating. And the unfortunate part about that is that it's difficult, except to include bureaucracy, and things never go easy when that starts to enter into play. Let's make it as simple as possible and see if we can't get the parties to agree, because nothing is worse than having a long, drawn-out process that makes no sense to anybody. So,
well, yeah, and it's unfortunate that politics has to be in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know. Totally agree.
It's like, can't we just
get along? Yeah.
Well,
or let's look at the facts and what we need.
What's best for the wolves?
For everybody.
For everybody.
For everybody. Yep. So, well, that'd be a wrap for us, you guys. Appreciate you hanging out with Ava and myself. For Ava and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. And, of course, for Don, the absentee Don, he's not here, but we can joke about him all we want. Be here next week. Hopefully he will be. Talk to you soon. Bye.